DevOps Shorts, DevOps Shorts, the show to listen to when your DevOps hurts. And even when you're going strong, it's short and sweet, so come along.
Hello, folks, and welcome to DevOps Shorts, the show where we invite wonderful human beings to have a lightning-fast conversation about devs, ops, and other mythical creatures. The show where each episode only lasts 15 minutes, and we're focused on asking only three questions. So it's short and sweet. Why? Well, because if there's one thing we know, it's that great delivery comes in small batches. And our guest for tonight is Mike Drzinin, Software Development Manager at Amazon.com and a Program Committee Member of the Great DevOps Conference. Hello, Mike. How are you?
And thank you. I'm very good. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. You know, as fine as one can be considering the circumstances. Without further ado, we'll dive straight into our three questions because we only have 15 minutes and three questions, big questions. So the first question is this. Why do you love information technology? I have this naive assumption that you love what you do. I may be right, I may be wrong, but what is the most important is your story about how you fell in love with this, why IT is so great or maybe not so great. We want to hear what you think.
Yeah, it's...
The timer, just a second. Mm-hmm. Go. You have it.
And I will start with the story how I started with IT. So basically my first book in IT was Assembler for VAX machines. It was a long time ago and I started reading it. And probably before it, it's thank you for my uncle who bring me a book in Russia. It was quite popular book as called Professor Fortran in computer world. And this book was great because you can build your own PC from this book. It was like a cardboard PC, but it was real. So you can type on keyboard, which was like just piece of paper. And it tell you about like wonderful IT world. And I still want to find out this book because it's really cool. And that's probably how it shaped my mind. And the beauty of IT for me, it's, I would say it's distilled engineering beauty. You can build whatever you imagine, and most likely you will be successful to implement it. You'll need to spend time, you'll need to spend energy, you will need to spend some engineering skills on it, but you can do it. Yeah? And compare, for example, with some real world stories, you can... You cannot build a building easily. Yeah, you will need a lot of money. But to build something in IT world, it's much, much easier. You will see these beautiful results. And it's very complex from a lot of different perspectives. So that's why I like it. And the second piece, how I started with IT was, now I remember, it was a StarCraft. Very nice game, right? And you like it. And at some point I say, okay, I know something about computers. I like play the games. I want to start building them. And that's how I get into IT. One of my first like big programs which I built for myself. This was what was simple games. Its game was called Lines or something. You just click on the lines, but you build it yourself, you play it yourself. And remember, I built it fully and I spent like a couple of days playing with it. That's how you get into it, and after it, you cannot get out when you try it once. Then just you need more and more scale, complexity, or something. But that's why I like it. That's why I like it, technology, all that stuff around.
So it's mostly playfulness for you. You love it for the playfulness, for the ability to play with stuff and get something out of it.
Yeah, you're right. You play with it, and at some point you can define your own rules for this game. Yeah, you're not limited by physics. You're not limited, I don't know, by any laws, probably except speed of light, and that's it. So And with current story, even nowadays, we're moving more and more to virtual reality and all that stuff. Like, sky is the limit.
Wonderful. Okay, so playfulness it is, and we still have 30 seconds left over from this question. Let's go straight into the next one. So the next question is related to, you know, our show is called DevOps Shorts, and we want to talk a little bit about DevOps. So the question is, what was your DevOps aha moment? In DevOps Handbook, each of the authors described their DevOps aha moment, that situation in their lives that made them realize that the way things work in IT sucks. But there is a better way, right? So what was that moment for you, if you had such a moment at all? This can be, you know, a horror story or a love story. We want to hear it. And the main thing is that it's your story.
Yeah, that's, I do believe everybody have a couple of horror stories in the closet for one on another thing, which you realize it's that stuff. And I'm not very representative for DevOps community here because I started working in a startup, and my career started in a startup where we did everything for ourselves and deployment, all that stuff. So like the question, can I roll out to production, was not a question. Of course you can. Whenever you need it, you do it. And that was simple for me, and I probably did not thought about DevOps like for maybe 5-7 years in my career, because I just automated whatever I need to automate, and I did whatever we need to bring customer values. And but later I get into enterprise world, and things become a bit more challengeable, a bit more complicated. As I said, you grow complexity, you grow stuff which is going on. And one of my aha moment was basically we tried to investigate performance issue with some application which we already had in production, and customer screaming because they accidentally had some spikes and application hangout, and we was not able to figure out it. Long story short, reason was the network folks who did a change to the network and reduced bandwidth between a couple of components to like 10 megabytes. And obviously it's worked most of the time, but at some point in time, it was not enough for everybody. And the application starts slowing and we cannot find out it. But how we get to it, we spend a lot of time trying to figure it out, and we cannot catch it. And we say, okay, fine. Let's put the test traffic into production. Let's do something what our users do in production, and basically start getting metrics from this test traffic and see like where it's hanging. Like why is the same code, why is the same activity take 1 second at one time and then take 10 seconds at another time. And we start plotting it up, we start digging into the metrics. By my aha moment was that, I can put some test traffic into production. I can put the stuff which will emulate my users, and it's going into production. And basically we need quite small amount of activity to implement it. So basically to have test activity in the same environment and do not interfere it with the rest of the world. And at this point I say, it's cool. I can do it. I can do it whenever I want. I can get more feedback, more information about how my system live. Yeah, not relying on my users, but getting traffic myself and they're emulating it. And after it, most of my development significantly changed, because now people usually rely on some externals for them, even like canary releases, everything. They say, we need somebody to send us requests. Or, like, you do not need it. You can have everything what you need. And like, if I'm testing my code, I'm doing it on production. That was the moment when I realized that that's a good instrument which I can use actually to make my life easy and to make my customers' life easy, because system become more reliable. Because before it, I also was relied on some customer traffic, on something which my users will send to me, but never thought that I can just like have a test customer who I play around every time when we do releases or something going wrong. And another aha moment, which I currently saying to all my folks, that environment around you is not like consistent. You cannot.
That's wrong. But,
yeah, it's good.
Not consistent. That's interesting. So for you, mostly you would say DevOps is testing in production. Interesting. That's an interesting perspective. Your own perspective.
It was my aha moment. It's DevOps is a lot, but that was moment like, we can do it differently.
All right. So that's your aha moment. And the next question is especially exciting for me. I like to define myself as a software delivery futurist. And the next question is about future. So what's next for DevOps and the IT industry in general? You can talk about tomorrow. You can talk about what happens in 5, 10, 20 years from now. Just what is your vision for that future? Go wild here, whatever comes into your head. We want to hear it. You're the technologist. You should know what happens next.
Well, I will not go significantly wild, but my thought on it, that's our like next stages for DevOps activities, next stage for computing activities, it's what's called edge devices. We currently have already millions of them. And if I will turn my cam, you will see at least 4 of them standing in my room. It's a NAS server, it's a couple of Raspberry Pis, lot of stuff. And they become more powerful, surprisingly, than my first laptop. Basically, my first laptop, which I developed my first game, was less powerful than these small devices, which you can deploy anywhere. That's one thing. And because we have this computing power, it's become much easier to put it somewhere. Yeah, before that, it was like luxury for some like oil companies or telecom companies to have the stuff around the world. But now I can deploy thousands of devices, set it, for example, to car or whatever. Yeah, and it will do something for me. And it's bring a lot of interesting changes, how you will manage it, how you will deal with it. And that's also bring you the great opportunity to shift even further this commodity computing idea. Because we moved from mainframes to the like personal computers, but still quite big. And now we're moving to some devices, which is pretty small, but can do lot of the stuff. Yeah? I'm not sure, I'm currently looking on my headset, and I'm not sure what kind of hardware there. I can bet they can calculate something if I need to. And it's bring me opportunities and bring a lot of security vulnerabilities. So we're moving directly to this rabbit hole, and I'm not sure how deep it will be. And the second thing, which together going with it, it's what called serverless computing. Yeah? My team currently playing a lot with AWS Lambdas. Everybody start using them, and it's quite different way to operate with your code and like to operate with your deployment, because I currently have like device on my desktop, which I can deploy this Lambda from a cloud. It can be deployed there. It's some kind of black magic for now. If you will fall back, I don't know, 3 years back, it was almost impossible. You need to spend abnormal amount of energy to get it works. Now, I just, published new code, and it's already on 10 of my devices running. That's really cool. Later, I'm not sure what will happen and how computing power of the small devices will be tied together with cloud devices. But I can bet that even your understanding of current IT infrastructure will shift significantly. And the borderline between your data center or your like your cloud perimeter and something which is fly around it will be changed dramatically. So.
Okay, interesting. So edge devices and serverless and how they can work together, from what I hear. Yeah. Here's the device, here's the Lambda, and you deploy code to Lambda, and that goes straight into your device, or your device interacts with the API that's deployed to the Lambda.
Yeah, and this is like technology enabled, but it gives you like great opportunity to do something on these devices. Yeah, and it's also open big threat for our famous big brothers to collect all information or do whatever is needful. But I'm not sure what will happen in 5 years. Maybe we'll have drones who flying around and do some mesh calculation. We just will be able to track you. And it's quite easy.
Years are gone. Okay. So there is some paranoia involved, of course.
For sure.
Here's another gong, and we're at 15 minutes. Thanks a lot, Mike. A lot of fun talking to you. Great visions. A lot of interesting stuff to chew on. I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
Adam.
Short and sweet. Thank you for listening, and watch out for new episodes of DevOps Shorts.